Continuing in the message, because I continue to be inspired by what Eugene Peterson comes up with in the translation and the notes on the back of the bulletin. The theme this morning is at home in Jesus' love. And, you know, we've been talking about being all in and being perfect love ambassadors of the kingdom and all of that, what that all means. And there are many obstacles to being successful in doing that. And so I want to just look for a few moments this morning as we close up here, being at home in Jesus' love. And there I see three sources of obstacle to being at home in Jesus' love, and they are the world system, our old nature, and Satan. Those things all conspire against us to make it difficult. And so the world system, our old nature, our sin nature, the one we're born with, the Adam nature, and Satan himself. And there's three principal things that those three entities use to make us not at home in Jesus' love. And they are things that we all know: shame, guilt, and condemnation. And the world system, our old nature, and Satan are really effective as they go about dispersing sense of shame and guilt and condemnation. And so when we come to a worship service and we're challenged with various things, we're just like, if we're under any load of shame, guilt, and condemnation, basically anything that comes out in a sense of strength from God's word, strength, word of motivation in our hearts, we're going to go, yeah, right, because I've got this, and that can't pierce this. And so those are the things I think just right out of the gate we can look at and say, this is what we deal with on a regular basis. So just that first paragraph in the notes: doing the work of an ambassador demands an intimate relationship of one's sending country, its values, its worldview, its power. As kingdom love ambassadors, we need no less. Representing accurately and consistently the love of the Father for all of mankind points up our need for ongoing time, face-to-face, sharing, listening, being loved. And we know how difficult that is in our harried, crazy world that has so many demands on us. Taking time for face-to-face with the Father and sharing with Him and listening to His voice speaking to us, and then allowing Him to love on us. I mean, what a foreign concept for many people, even Christians. God the Father wants to love on me? Yeah, really? I mean, be serious. This is 2013, Dom. We're not in, you know, this is not, Lucas isn't writing a film script here. This is reality. No, the reality is the Father really wants to love on us. But He needs time, and He needs our attention, and He needs to be able to see us face to face, and He needs to be close enough to us to communicate that love to us. And so that's what Jesus is showing His disciples here in this passage out of John chapter 15 when He's speaking to them. And it's so easy to get wrapped up in the familiarity with these verses. And so I want us to look at them just a little differently this morning as we read through these verses. So the first couple of verses, my verse numbers aren't listed here in the message, so I'm not really sure exactly where the verses go. But the first thing Jesus says to them, the first blank there, number one, is live in me. And so in the message it says, I am the real vine and my Father is the farmer. He cuts off every branch of me that doesn't bear grapes, and every branch that is grape-bearing, He prunes back so that it'll bear even more. You are already pruned back by the message I've spoken. Live in me, make your home in me as I do in you. In the same way that a branch can't bear grapes by itself, but only by being joined to the vine, you can't bear fruit unless you are joined with me. So, this is not really good English, and it's not really good syntax, because Jesus is talking about making your home, and in the same paragraph He's talking about bearing fruit and bearing grapes. And any English teacher would say, wait a minute, that should be a second paragraph. Why are you mixing these things up? You're talking about making your home and living in me and bearing fruit. Like, what's Jesus doing? He's trying to make every effort for them to understand what it is he's talking about, and he goes back and forth on purpose so they understand. And I think a lot of times I've read John chapter 15 and I've thought, oh, well, this is just Jesus talking about the vine and the branches and grapes. No, that's not all Jesus is talking about. He wants us to be at home in his love. And so when he says, live in me, make your home in me as I do in you, the result of us making our home, being comfortable. You know, one thing about being in your own home after a certain while, you know all the corners, you know where everything is, more or less, with the exception of a few closets maybe, or garage if you're like me. But we're familiar with it. If you have stairs in your house, you know which stairs creak, right? You know which doors stick, right? You know which light bulb needs repairing for 4 months, and et cetera, et cetera. And so we're familiar with it. We can move around our house pretty much in the dark because we know it so well. And Jesus says, live in me, make your home in me as I do in you. Jesus is making himself comfortable in our room. The difficulty in our house, and I think the difficulty sometimes, as Jesus makes himself comfortable in us, he makes us uncomfortable because he comes in with his presence and his light, and he shines light on the things that haven't been cleaned up lately. Do you ever have rooms like that? I usually think of, you know, pretty much everybody has an alligator room. You know, that room where there's pretty much everything, maybe including an alligator or somebody underneath the pile. And, you know, and I think we all have that. And so as Jesus makes himself comfortable, he kind of wanders in and out of rooms. You know, when you've got guests over, does anybody close certain doors? You know, it's just like, we just prefer that you don't go in there. You know, the rooms that are open to you, they're open. And the doors that are closed has a sign on the door that says, please do not enter. And so Jesus comes, but he ignores that, and he just kind of wanders into all the rooms. And he sees all the closets, and he sees the garage or the basement or the attic or wherever our alligators are stored. And he makes himself comfortable, and he wants us to be comfortable with his presence, and he wants us to invest in making ourselves at home with him. And when we do that, then he says, as that happens and we get connected organically, as he's going to talk about, then fruit starts happening. There's life that comes up in us, and we start bearing fruit in other words, there's an effect to this relationship, this intimate relationship. So number two, the blank there is separated. You can't produce a thing. Jesus says, I am the vine, you are the branches. When you're joined with me and I with you, the relation, intimate and organic, the harvest is sure to be abundant. Separated, you can't produce a thing. Anyone who separates from me is dead wood, gathered up and thrown on the bonfire. So this, Jesus is continuing to talk about living intimately, organically connected, having the time, getting familiar, and if we separate ourselves, in other words, he's not going to separate from us. Once he chooses us, that's a permanent choosing. And he's there, and he hangs in there, and he makes it work. But he says, if anyone separates from me, he becomes deadwood and is fit only for being thrown onto the bonfire because there's no life in it anymore and it becomes useless. So Jesus says, separated from me, you can't produce anything. So no fruit. Here he goes again with this producing fruit business. Look at number three. Three is how, here's the key, how the Father is seen. How the Father is seen. S-E-E-N. He says it this way, if you make yourselves at home with me and my words are at home in you, you can be sure that whatever you ask will be listened to and acted upon. This is how my Father shows who he is when you produce grapes, when you mature as my disciples. So the point is not obedience. The point is not staying attached to the vine for the sake of attaching to the vine. the purpose that Jesus is talking about here when he talks about making yourselves at home in my love and when the Father's love and you will produce grapes, the point is so that we can display the Father. Because the world needs to see the Father. In 2013, I don't think it's a stretch to say there's a great need for the Father to be seen. There aren't many sources of information that come out that point to the Father and his presence and his love. So as we mature, we produce grapes. There's fruit from our lives. There's something, there's evidence of our relationship, this intimate relationship with the Father. The Father shows himself to people through the lives that we live, connected to him. That's the whole purpose. The purpose is that the Father could be seen. So if we live under the radar, we live like the rest of the world will never see the Father. They hear about him, hear a lot of talk about him. There are a lot of buildings that are supposed to be connected to him somehow or other. But if they never see us, and they never see us becoming mature as disciples and bearing fruit in our life, making us look like Jesus, the Father can't be seen. And the world goes, we don't see the Father, we don't see any evidence. So where is he? Well, it's the church. Don't you know the church? Yeah, we've seen the church. We see what the church does. And the world has all kinds of things it could tell you about what the church is. Not too flattering, actually. If you've asked anybody in the world lately who refuses to go to church, they could give you some pretty graphic imagery of why they don't go to church and who they've met there and what kind of attitudes they've seen there and the type of legalism and on and on and on. So, but they haven't seen the Father because there's nothing negative in the Father. So our whole point of growing up and becoming mature and bearing fruit is so that the Father can show himself. And that's how he makes himself known. Number four, Jesus comes to this phrase, which kind of says it all to me. Make yourselves at home in my love. I've loved you the way the Father has loved me, Jesus says. Make yourselves at home in my love. If you keep my commands, you'll remain intimately at home in my love. That's what I've done. Kept my Father's commands and made myself at home in his love. So making ourselves at home, how do we make ourselves at home in Jesus' love? You know, Jesus is talking here about understanding the Father and knowing the Father, and Jesus is saying, you know, I have loved you the way the Father has loved me, and so as you see me and as you've heard from me and as you've studied my teachings, as you've seen the way I've interacted with you, he's talking to his disciples who've spent 3 years with them, seen all the amazing things Jesus has done, the reactions Jesus has not had, the calling down fire from heaven that the disciples wanted to do with those who ticked them off, and Jesus goes, no. His power over nature, his incredible mercy. This quote I read this morning, this from St. John Chrysostom, is, mercy imitates the Father and disappoints Satan. Because it's totally the Father to show mercy. And it's totally Satan to want to just totally destroy. But Jesus says, make yourself at home in my love. Make yourselves comfortable there, where the world system doesn't invade, where the old nature has light shined on it so we can come to repentance, and where Satan doesn't dare show up because the name of Jesus is pronounced. And every time the name of Jesus is pronounced, Satan knows he's the defeated foe, and he doesn't dare show his face. We have great power. There is great power in the name of Jesus that's been given to us to use because the enemy does not dare enter that area. So we make ourselves at home in his love in order to grow up, to be secure, to understand that this Father that has adopted us and made us a part of the beloved that loves us, he's a rich Father. And his resources never end. And so the prodigal son story, done everything he could possibly do, and the Father's prodigal nature, the spoiling, overabundant nature welcomes him home in spite of the smell and the dirt and the embarrassment and just throws him a party. That's what God always wants to do with us. And so if we've been away from the Father for years and years and really have just kind of drifted away from intimacy with him, the second we turn and we turn our face to him and say, you know, I really am tired of this. This isn't working. He's right there, bringing the robe, bringing the ring, killing the fatted calf. I mean, the whole thing. It's a week-long party because the Father just has been waiting for us to come. And he says, make yourselves at home in my love. You will find a home. You know, isn't it nice when you go to somebody's house and it feels so comfortable you can really relax? And the reverse, have you ever been to somebody's house and it is totally uncomfortable? And you don't even think you're welcome there. And they're just waiting for you to leave. They're trying to be polite, but you know, the minute you say, I've got to go now, they're all going, that's a horrible feeling. But when you can just go into someone's home and you just feel at home and it's comfortable and you can, you know, you can kick back and you can even put your feet up on the sofa. You know, making ourselves at home, becoming comfortable with who Jesus says he is and what this relationship that he has with the Father, and making it ours, making that familiarity, that intimacy ours. Because the world system and our old nature and Satan will never encourage us in that direction. They will do everything, they will put up every obstacle, every barrier, so that we will never go and make ourselves at home in the Father's love. So when we think, well, the Father just doesn't really love me, that's a lie the enemy's placed there, so that we won't seek the intimacy with the Father, because we're expecting to be punished. But that's not the love of the Father. I mean, when we come to him, we realize, oh, he's not really like that. You know, he's the one killing the fatted calf, not killing the son, remember? You know, and he's ready to throw a party because he's so excited. And so, world system, old nature, and Satan, if we listen, they will always lead us astray. And they'll always lead us into shame, guilt, and condemnation. Absolutely the opposite of what we find in the Father's presence. And then finally, number five, the root command. Jesus said, I've told you these things for a purpose. Now he's going and he's really filling in what his whole purpose is about the vine and the vineyards and remaining in my love and making ourselves at home. He says, I've told you these things for a purpose, that my joy may be your joy and your joy wholly mature. This is my command. Love one another the way I loved you. This is the very best way to love. Put your life on the line for your friends. You are my friends when you do the things I command you. I'm no longer calling you servants, because servants don't know what their master is thinking and planning. No, I've named you friends because I've let you in on everything I've heard from the Father. You didn't choose me, remember? I chose you and put you in the world to bear fruit, fruit that won't spoil. So, evidence of maturity. As fruit bearers, coming back to that again, whatever you ask in the Father in relation to me, he gives you. But remember the root command. Love one another. As Jesus finishes up this passage, he boils it all down not to a set of 617 laws, not rules and regulations. There's not one thou shalt not in this whole passage. He's not talking about that at all. He's talking about organic. What's the ordinary thing? I mean, how difficult is it for the branch of a vine to remain attached? How hard does a branch have to work to hang in there? Have you ever tried to pull a plant out of the ground? And how deep the roots go and how tightly attached it is to the earth and these branches to the vine itself? So there's not striving. If we're going to separate from the vine, we do it on purpose, not just because we're too weak to hang in there. You know, most branches on most trees are big enough for people to climb in. And so Jesus boils this whole thing down. The whole point here is to make it possible for the Father to be shown through the mature lives we're leading. And we do it by loving one another. That's how hard it is. That's how complicated this whole Christian thing is. love one another. And some days it is a challenge. You know, there are people that challenge us in that. But there's a simple command. Jesus says, you know, love one another the way I've shown you how to love. I've forgiven you. I've built you up. I've encouraged you. I've, you know, spanked you. I've told you when you were wrong, and I've encouraged you to get back up and try again. So love one another the way I've loved you. And the root command is just love one another. To becoming at home in Jesus' love, to be familiar with that, to be comfortable in the family of God, to realize we're going to mess up. We're going to do things we're not supposed to do. What do we do? What's our biblical example when we go back and say, wow, I have really, really, really messed up. So what can I expect from the family? Total rejection? No. What the Father says is, to that extent, he shows us the prodigal son. And there's the example. So we're encouraged to come back and to come back and to come back and rest comfortably in this love that the Father has. And as we do that, we have the strength to move forward and make a difference for the kingdom, being these perfect love ambassadors in the world that he's called us to be. And he makes total use out of the likes of you and me. And he doesn't even have to work at it, because he makes it organic. He makes it what happens naturally. While we're busy making ourselves at home in Jesus' love, we grow mature. We produce fruit without thinking about it. We show the Father, which is the goal, and we find out the only thing that we've really been told to do is love one another. A great command. Great words for us as we ponder. I really encourage you to pray for these 10 days with our friends Jit and Joe when they come. They're really on fire for the Lord. They really want us. They want to share the things that God is doing in their lives, and they want to encourage us to join the Father in what he's doing here on the peninsula. They've been praying for the streets of our communities and whatever as they prepare to come. And I think as we make ourselves at home in the Father's love, there will be this desire to get out and produce fruit. A few years ago, I told you the story probably, but we have a breadfruit pear in our front yard that had grown way too big. And we just have really a small yard, obviously. And so the tree was practically touching our house and our neighbor's house. And we knew we had to do something about it. And so got the guy to come out and do this thing I'd never heard of it called topping before. And so he came and they did it while we were at work. I came home in the afternoon and my poor tree looked like it had been sheared. I mean, 99% of all the leaves had been taken off in the process, and it looked like it had been chopped down by some butcher. And I was like, oh man, the Freemans are going to be fodder in the neighborhood now. And so I called the guy up and I said, about the tree that you guys were topping, and he goes, yeah, does it look like it's had a bad haircut? I said, yeah, it really, you know, I didn't want to say, I don't think you knew what you were doing. I think you've killed it. And he goes, that's the way it's supposed to look. Don't worry about it. In 6 weeks, the leaves will all come back out again. They'll reproduce, and you'll never know it's been done except that it'll be trimmed again. Well, I really thought the guy had lost his mind. Until 6 weeks later, guess what? The tree looked phenomenal. It had reproduced all its leaves, even though they'd already come out once. And I think this is what the Father does. He says, as you're busy making yourself at home in my love, I take care of you. I'll prune you back to make you a better tree, make you stronger, cause you to bear fruit. Great word for us. Let's pray together this morning as we're dismissed. Father, we just need to be at home in your love. And if we just stop and think about it for a few minutes, how much the pressure of the world, our own failures and faults and old nature, and even every once in a while, Satan directly gets involved to really discourage us, distract us, move us away from our goal. And Father, we confess that sometimes these things, one at a time or together, are really effective. And it just makes us ashamed and feel so guilty and so condemned that we don't hardly dare look at you again. But this morning, we take courage from Jesus' words and we say, this is what Jesus encouraged us to do. This is what he encouraged the disciples to do, knowing what the disciples were going to have to go through, what we're going to have to go through, what we do go through. And so, Father, we say this morning, we choose to put ourselves in a position of making ourselves at home in this love that you have for us. We don't understand it. And if you were like us, you wouldn't accept us. But Father, we're so grateful that you're not like us. And you do accept us. And you call us back. And you call us to maturity because you so want to be shown to the world. And the world is so desperate to see this God of the universe, this God of creation, who rules through love. And the major command that has been given to all of his ambassadors is to love one another, because that's how the world's going to see that we are in you. So would you give us courage? Father, would you encourage our hearts to seek that out and to know your love? And where we've not known it, where it seems like those barriers are too much and so we're just pretending it's okay, but inside we're falling apart. But we don't want to pretend. We want to really know your love. We want our hearts to be touched by that intimate relationship where nothing can get through. Nothing can discourage us. Nothing can distract us. And nothing can cause us to doubt this incredible love you have for us. Because we want to be strong to get this work done. And our ambassadorship is just beginning. We have a lot of work to do. So, Father, as we move forward, as we think of the 55,000, 60,000 cars that drive by our door every day, we can just imagine the percentage of people who have no idea who the Father is. And what they've heard of him isn't attractive. Help us to be the attractive living out of this relationship, to make them hungry and thirsty for what we have. So we give you praise, Father, this morning. Be honored, be glorified, be lifted up in our midst, Father, as we go out, as we share in this time with the picnic at Dean's house here in a bit. Father, could we encourage one another? Could we share the things that have been most encouraging to us? And we want to give you praise for it. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you as you head to the next thing on your agenda. Hopefully you can join us for the picnic. If not, whatever God is leading you to, may it bring great fruit and great joy in this week.